Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you and thank you that there is a safe place. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what betides us, we make it to your arms, we're safe. So we thank you for providing for us a place where we can rest, where there is peace, joy, mercy, goodness, hope, love. It's in the arms of Jesus. Because we are your children, we can always run to you and find safety. So now, God, speak to us through your word, a word that will encourage and strengthen us for the journey that we are facing. You never let us down before. Just one word will soothe all of our doubts and calm all of our fears. And so we praise you and honor you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I echo Janet's words. Anthony Bolden is my son, amen, my child. And so you always want to make sure your child stay grounded. So, but he is an awesome young man of God. And just no doubt about that. He loves God and God loves him, and he is doing an awesome work over at Oakwood Church, and we're just proud and pleased as punch at what he's doing, but also we're a little jealous, amen, because we've got work for him to do, but I'm thankful that he's able to make it by and spend some time with us every now and then. As always, we're glad to have with us our own Pastor John Herndon, amen, who is just a saint of God, and so we thank God for him and for all of my father's children who are gathered here. I won't hold you too long. There's a word of God in the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Just one verse. Verse 1, it says, we'll encourage you in the privacy of your own time to read the whole chapter. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Well, let me read a little bit more. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God. For just a few moments, just from this thought, signs of the times. Signs of the times. God bless you, ushers. You may readjust. We are celebrating Black History Month in a time when we are commemorating and remembering many of the contributions of people who came from humble beginnings and from desperate times into this country and this world that we live in today. However, because of the significance of the contributions, you can't put it all in just 30 days. We celebrate Black History every day. Not only do we celebrate it, we make Black History every day. And so, what I don't want us to do is to get caught up in distractions. Things around us, but make sure that we stay on our grind, that we keep our eyes on the prize, keep our focus, because we come from greatness. We come from people who were resilient, who were extreme believers in the power of God. 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, Moses traveled to Midian in the south, in the southern part of Egypt, what is called the Fertile Crescent. And he married a dark-skinned Midianite woman, and Ethiopian people in her family became counselors and advisors to Moses. Almost 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, the Queen of Sheba, also known as Cush in Ethiopia, visited King Solomon. She came from Africa with many camels and spices and gold and precious stones. Her nation and her culture had existed long before that time. The Ethiopian Pianki established the 24th Egyptian dynasty, and at least four Egyptian kings ruled over Egypt from 730 BC until 66 BC. Great nations, great civilizations, great cultures existed in Africa centuries before Jesus was born. One of the greatest generals of all time was a man by the name of Hannibal from the city of Carthage in northern Africa. Hannibal frequently defiled and defeated Rome between 219 and 203 BC. In 1498 AD, Portuguese explorers wrote that they found along the East African coast tall stone towns of comfort and wealth. They found people who were highly civilized and skilled in the use of the compass and in reading charts. Timbuktu was a magnificent city where merchants made more profit from the sale of books than from the sale of any other commodity. The areas of science, art, medicine, government, law, and culture, many of the nations of Africa were competitive with and, in many cases, more advanced than other nations of the world in Europe and in Asia during that period. All of this was devastated by the slave trade and by colonialism. William Banks, in his book, The Black Church in the United States, recounts nearly 20 million Negroes were made captive over the span of some 300 years from 1517 until 1840. They were crammed into ships like sardines in a can and brought across the Atlantic from the Gulf of Guinea to the New World. The trip that made them was called the Middle Passage. It's estimated that perhaps 12 million blacks landed in South America and Latin America, and about 2 million of them were brought into the United States. What happened to the millions of people who were taken away from Africa? Some died resisting capture. Some died in captivity, waiting to be shipped out. Some, not willing to be captured, committed suicide. Others, beaten and too weak to continue the journey, were thrown overboard at sea and abandoned to die. On the journey across the ocean from Africa to the New World, it is estimated that not more than half of the slaves who were shipped out from Africa ever made it to the New World. Ask yourself, beloved, what was the impact of the loss of 20 million of its people on the culture and the nations of Africa? How many died trying to defend their families and the violence associated with the slave trade? Yet, after all we went through, we still produced Benjamin Banneker, maker of the first American clock. We still produced Sojourner Truth and George Washington Carver and Charles Drew and Benjamin Davis and Ralph Bunche and Booker T. Washington and Marian Anderson. We still produce Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X and Colin Powell and Barack Obama. We still produce Wilma Ruffin Bracey and Terrell Jackson and Gladys Ewing and Paul Langford and Matthew Larry and Ernest Horton and you and you and you and you. We've always had one more river to cross. So we make this declaration today that even though we've gone through some things, we understand that the journey continues. These are the signs of the times. So if you're staring up in the sky looking for a sign, look no farther. If you're waiting for someone to rescue us from the scourge of moral indignation and corrupt values and religious bigotry and main mindless megalomania, stop it right now. Because in this text, Jesus gives us the answer to what we are looking for if you're looking, and what we are waiting for if you're waiting. I've discovered in my few years on earth, beloved, that people want to see something. They say, show me something, Lord, then I'll believe it. Give me some proof that you are who you say you are and can do what you say you can do. It's the same now as it was then. Because twice in the Gospels, in chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 38, and here in chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees, and one time the Pharisees and the Sadducees, asked Jesus for a miraculous sign. A sign that will prove to them that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. It's crazy because in chapter 12, they have just witnessed Jesus deliver a demon-possessed man, and yet they call Jesus the devil. In chapter 15, Jesus healed the deaf, the lame, the crippled, the blind, and he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Yet the Bible says right here in chapter 16 that they tested Jesus and still asked him for a sign. How much more did he have to do? How many more miracles did he have to do? How many more signs? How many more blessings did he have to do? It wasn't about them wanting a sign, was it? He could have done 50 miracles every hour, and he still wouldn't have done enough. I've discovered, beloved, this, that people do what they want to do. They believe what they want to believe, and they go where they want to go. The problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had was not with Jesus. It was with power, control, and selfishness. They didn't want this nondescript wanderer from the desert to have power over them. They didn't want to relinquish control of their lives to this carpenter's son. And they were too full of themselves to admit that they were wrong. They could read all of the signs of nature, but they couldn't see God right before their eyes. So Jesus tells them that they'll get a sign. You want a sign? Here's a sign that you'll get. Your sign will be the sign of Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah the prophet, don't you? I mean, the man who disobeyed God when God told him to go to Nineveh. Rather than obey God, he went to Tarshish. He got on a boat and went the opposite direction. And as a result, God raises up a storm. And the storm is so powerful that the people on the boat are afraid. And suddenly Jonah tells them that he's the reason that the storm is there. And he tells them at his request to throw him overboard. And when he's thrown overboard, he finds himself in the belly of a fish. Well, let me back up. I can understand some of Jonah's consternation. I mean, really. You can't blame Jonah because the Ninevites were some bad dudes. They were so bad that they used to hang the skulls of the people that they had defeated, their enemies, on the outer gates to the city
so that anybody coming into the city, the first thing you saw was a whole lot of skulls on the gate. And you knew then, these are some bad dudes. And so Jonah knows how bad they were. So when God says, hey, listen, I want you to go to Nineveh, Jonah is somewhat apprehensive. But in the storm, they throw him overboard. Wait a minute. There are some Ninevites in our lives, aren't there? God told you to start a business, and you went the other way saying, it's too hard, God. Ninevites. God told you to work in ministry, and you said, I don't have the time. No way, God. Ninevites. God put you in that position on that job so that you would be a light and a witness for him, and you haven't said a word since you got it. Ninevites. God called you into the gospel ministry to preach his word, and you keep saying, not me, God, not yet, God. Ninevites. I wish I had some time to talk about, have you had enough? Have you had enough of disobeying God or running from God? You're in the belly of the beast like Jonah, in that dark and slimy and acid-filled belly. And have you had enough of disobeying and running from God? It's dark in your life. Have you had enough, brother? Your life is filled with slimy things and slimy people. Have you had enough, sister? Child of God, the acid things of life have eaten away at your body and your soul. Have you had enough? Well, Jonah had had enough. Read chapter 2 of the book of Jonah and read Jonah's prayer. Because finally, when he's had enough, God delivers him and releases him from the fish, and he gladly went to Nineveh. That's a sermon right there, y'all, that when you get enough, and when we really are willing to turn it over to the Lord, he will deliver us from whatever it is that has us bound right now. Watch this. When he got to Nineveh, when he began to walk in obedience to God, he gets to Nineveh, the first sermon that he preaches, the title of his sermon was, Nineveh will be overturned in 40 days. The first sermon, Stephanie, that he preached, the whole city, king and all, got saved. Come on, you missed your shout right there. The whole city got saved when he preached his first sermon, when he began to walk in obedience to God. That's the sign that Jesus was talking about, the sign of repentance. God is calling this world to repentance. Do you understand repentance has two stages? The first stage is confession, but the second stage is turning. Or we can confess. We are good at confessing. We don't have a problem saying to God, I'm sorry, but the turning part. In other words, we want to confess, but keep on doing what we're doing. Confession comes first, but then we make a 180-degree turn to stop doing what we are doing and begin to do what God has called us to do. Too often, beloved, we act like the people in the book of Judges. They would rebel against God. And then as soon as they rebelled, there came God's punishment or retribution. In the midst of God's punishment, they discovered, Sean, that punishment from God is a little too much. And so they would repent. And as soon as God rescued them from them saying, we are sorry, God would restore them. And as soon as he restored them, the first thing that he would do is rebel again. So when you read the book of Judges, every other chapter says, and the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's how we continue to go through that cycle. How many times have we told the Lord, listen, not you, but some folks down the street, Lord, if you get me out of this time, I'll never, not y'all don't know about this, but some folks down the street can tell you, Lord, if you ever get me out of this, I'll serve you like never before. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll give to you like never before. I told you about the man who was told God, God, I want to give. If you give it to me, I'll give it. He was making $500 a week. And God raised him up to 1,000. He said, thank you, Lord, this is good, but I'm still working in a tight. I can't give to you yet. God, if you break me up to 2,000, I'll be a good giver. God raised him up to 2,000. And he got to 2,000. He says, yes, God, this is good, but it's just still not enough. I'm almost there, God. God raised him up to 5,000. He said, God, 5,000 is good, but it wouldn't be as good as 10,000. God took him back to $100 a week. Because sometimes we just can't stand to be blessed. You'll get that about 11:30 tonight. How long, beloved, will we walk in disobedience and selfishness? How long will we walk in arrogance and dare being blessed people and people who receive the blessing and the anointing of God each and every day? How long will we be arrogant enough to just tell Almighty God, I'm not doing it? Like Pharisees and Sadducees, we walk around every day and ask God for another sign. I know you did it before, God, but can you do it again? How long before we will confess and repent our sins before Almighty God? Listen, if people as evil and as wicked and as mean as the Ninevites can change after hearing one sermon, what about us? Jesus said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Some folk have been going to church for years and still haven't changed. Not here, but somewhere down the road. Still haven't given our lives to Jesus. Still haven't decided to trust God. But Jesus is saying, you got to see the sign. These are the signs of the times. It's not political. It's not financial. I know people are saying it is and people think it is. And oh my God, this political thing. No, it's not political. It's not financial. It's not sociological. It's not eschatological, which is the doctrine of the end times, because people are running around saying, oh, these are the last days. But they were saying that back in the 1800s, and somebody said it in 1912, and somebody said, you remember 2000, and folks were buying water and sardines and all this kind of stuff because the Y2K was coming. And in 2012, they said, oh, the Mayan clock is running out. There's always been, listen, no one knows the day or the hour. It's not eschatological. Listen, here it is. Listen, you're looking, but you're not listening. Listen, look, here it is. It's relational. You missed your shout. Come on, let me see. It's relational. God is a God of relationship. We keep thinking that it's political, it's sociological, that all of these other things, but Jesus in this text is saying to them, you don't understand that I am the Son of God. You keep looking for the Messiah. You keep looking for someone other than me because you don't want to be in relationship with me. We want God to be a heavenly Santa Claus or a cosmic bellhop that just goes and fetches and does everything we want him to do. Just bless me, God. It's all I want. But Jesus is saying, I want you to be in relationship with me. God is giving us, listen, here it is. He's giving us an opportunity to fall into relationship and into love with him, to give ourselves to him. Because people are saying, these are the last days. Well, the last days began when Jesus was resurrected. From that time until now, we have been moving towards the time when he will return. We say, well, it's been 2,000 years. It's been a long time. When is Jesus coming back? Well, the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years with God, And 1,000 years is as one day. So if it's been 2,000 years, then in God's time, it's only been 2 days. You don't want to wait for the third day. 3 is a number of completion. You don't want to wait for the third day. You want to hear, you want to turn your life over to God right now. Here's the word for us. After all that we have been through, let me help you now. After all we've been through as a people, do you honestly think that this stuff is that's going on now can hurt us? Oh, come on, think about it now. Do you honestly think that what's happening right now can defeat us? Not a chance. We are the people of God. And he didn't bring us this far, and we didn't come this far to quit. You got to read the sign of the times. God is saying, turn to me. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. We are the people of God. These are the signs of the times. And God is saying, don't worry about the political stuff. Turn to me. What time is it? It's not game time. What time is it? It's not playing time. It's God's time. Come on, somebody. It's time to deepen our relationship with God. It's time to stop playing and get to working. What time is it? It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to win souls. It's time to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for the sick. What time is it? It's time to stop worrying about what's going on and what's going to happen and begin to trust God. We know who holds the future. It's time. It's God's time. It's time to wake up and to be about our Father's business. It's time to repent and confess and turn ourselves to God. For when we turn to him, he will show us great and mighty things that we don't know. God is saying, these are the signs of the times. Don't worry about who's not coming. You just come. How many more sermons do you need to hear before you will come? How many more church services? If the Ninevites can hear a word and it'll change their lives, and you're not as bad as the Ninevites, what are you waiting for? What's your excuse? What's holding you back? You hear sermon after sermon. You come to church service after church service. And still, we languish on the vine. So, Pastor, that's kind of hard. You're really kind of making a condemnation. I ain't got time to play. Folk are dying. Folk are still playing games with your life and my life. So we need to find out from God. God, where are you? What do you want me to do? You're here today. Stand on your feet. God is calling you. Do you see the signs of the times? Can you see God standing right before you, calling you to him? Or do you need another sign? Maybe the fact that you woke up this morning is not sign enough. Maybe the fact that you still have blood running warm in your veins and the activity of your limbs. Maybe that's not enough. Maybe you need another sign. Maybe the fact that you had a car to get in and you rode here in comfort and you've had a place to, maybe you need another sign. Maybe the fact that you had plenty of food to eat and you've got more than enough in your refrigerator and your cupboard and you had some covering in over your house last night. Maybe that's not enough. Maybe you need another sign. They said, show us a sign from heaven so that we will believe that you are the Christ. How many more signs do you need? Or are you willing to say, God, I hear you. And I acknowledge that I've been walking in disobedience. I acknowledge that I've been running from you. Hey, you're not alone. I ran from God for a long time. And thankfully, I didn't have to get into a belly of a fish, but I was in a dark and slimy place in my life until I decided that it's not worth running from God. And now my testimony is what took me so long. God is calling you. Not about church membership. We'd love to have you be a part of this ministry. There's room for you here. But more importantly, Jesus is calling us back to him. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you can come. Or if you're here today and you don't have a place where you're worshiping and utilizing your gifts and graces, you ought to come today. You ought to come. You ought not wait another day. You're not going to get a more opportune time than right now. The Bible says now is the acceptable time of salvation. It's not going to be a better Sunday than today. It's not going to be more people here than another time. It's not going to be this choir's not going to sing any better. I'm not going to preach any better. This is the day that the Lord has made. And it's just for you. Will you come?